Arachne, the Weaver. In a small cottage outside a little town called Hypeipa, in the kingdom of Lydia, there dwelt a merchant and craftsman called Idmon. He worked in the nearby Ionian city of Colophon as a trader in dyes, specializing in the highly prized color Phocian purple. His wife had died giving birth to a girl, Arachne. Idmon was as proud of Arachne as ever father was of daughter, for, since her early childhood, she had shown the most extraordinary skill as a weaver. Spinning and weaving were naturally of great importance in those days. Next to the growing of food, few things were as crucial to human welfare as the reliable manufacture of textiles for clothing and furnishing. And manufacture is quite the right word. It literally means making by hand, and all such work was done by hand then. Fleece or flax was spun into threads and loaded onto looms to be woven into woolen or linen cloth. It was so much the province of skilled women that the very gender itself was given names in some cultures and languages that reflected the practice. In English, we still talk of the distaff side of a family, meaning the female line. The distaff was the spindle around which the wool or flax was wound preparatory to spinning, and those who spun were called spinsters, a name which once applied without negative connotation to any unmarried woman. But as with almost all human practices, there are those who have the mysterious ability to raise the everyday and ordinary to the level of art. From the very first, Arachne's skill at the loom was the talk and pride of all Ionia. The speed and accuracy of her work was astonishing. The assurance and dexterity with which she selected one coloured thread after another, almost without looking, stunned the admirers, who often crowded into Idmon's cottage to watch her at work. But it was the pictures, patterns, and intricate designs that emerged from under the blur of her shuttle that caused onlookers to burst into spontaneous applause and declare her without equal. The forests, palaces, seascapes, and mountain views she created were so real that you felt you could jump into them. It wasn't only the mortal citizens of Colophon and Hypeipa that came to see her at her loom. Local naiads from the river Pactolus and oreads from nearby Mount Tmolus crowded into the cottage and shook their heads in wonder too. All were agreed that Arachne was the kind of phenomenon that might come only once in 5 centuries of history. To be so technically skilled was cause for admiration enough, but to be endowed with such taste. She never overdid the use of purples, or other costly and showy dyes, for example. That was the miracle. Such praise as she daily received would have gone to anyone's head. Arachne was not a spoiled or conceited child. In fact, when not at the loom, she came across as practical and prosaic rather than flighty or temperamental. She understood that she had been given a gift and was not one to claim personal credit for it. But she did value her talent and believed that in rating it at its proper worth, she was simply being honest. "Yes," she murmured, gazing down at her work one fateful afternoon. "I truly think if Pallas Athene herself were to sit down and spin with me, she would find herself unable to match my skill. After all, I do this every day, and she only weaves once in a while for amusement. It is no wonder I am so far her superior." With so many nymphs present in the front room of Idmon's cottage, you can be sure that news soon got back to Athena of Arachne's ill-chosen words.